Good afternoon, congregation. Welcome to our worship service. We would like to welcome all visitors who are worshiping with us today, as well as those who are following along online. We pray that we may be blessed as we worship the Lord together. A few announcements to repeat. The congregation is reminded the offering today will be for the work of the deacons, both locally and abroad. The congregation is informed that there will be a consistory meeting tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m. and a reminder that there will be a Vesper service this afternoon at 3:30 p.m. Again, we welcome Reverend Dick Mose, Emeritus Pastor of the Surrey Covenant Church, to lead our worship service this afternoon.
Good afternoon to you all. The Lord calls us to worship Him with the following words. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. You, O Lord, are exalted forever. It is good to praise your name, O Most High. Amen. If you're able, would you please rise? Congregation, where does our help come from?
Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from Him who is and who was and who is coming, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us sing together Psalm 67.
Thank you.
Let us unite together in prayer. Father, we praise and thank you for blessing us with every spiritual blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who dealt with the problem of sin in our lives. The penalty of sin, the power of sin, the pollution of sin, and the partition of sin. And so when we entrust ourselves to Him through faith, we begin to experience your forgiving, liberating, and healing grace. And He is also the one who dealt with the problem of death in our lives. So that death is only an entrance into eternal life in heaven, from where we will one day return to a new earth with resurrected bodies that are incorruptible and immortal. And so when we entrust ourselves to Him and are open to the Holy Spirit forming the risen Christ, the glorified Christ in us, we begin to experience the incorruptible and immortal new creation of the future, breaking forth into the broken and sinful present. And the spiritual blessings we have in the Lord Jesus Christ also includes that He dealt a mortal wound to the devil with His death on Calvary's cross, so that His rule in this world and in our own lives is curtailed when we entrust ourselves to the Lord Jesus in faith. And Father, what a glorious good news that Jesus has dealt with the problem of sin, death, and the devil. What glorious good news that you have blessed your congregation with. And as we sang together from Psalm 67, you bless us so that we will be a blessing to those around us, primarily by sharing this good news and embodying this good news of your forgiving, liberating, and healing grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, what a joy it is to be able to be used by you for this glorious purpose. And Father, we thank you that you use the preaching of your word as a means to help us hear your voice, calling us to entrust ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ so that He can do in us what He has done for us. And it is no longer we who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in us. May the preaching of your word do that this afternoon. To that end, richly anointed with your Spirit, and silence all other voices that clamor for attention in our hearts and minds. In the name of Him who taught us to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading is taken from Luke 24, the verses 25 to 27, 36 to 49. Luke 24 is a chapter about the resurrection of Christ. Beginning at verse 13, it's Jesus appearing to the two men on the road to Emmaus, listening to them and speaking with them. And in verse 25, he says to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then we continue with verse 36, where Jesus appears to more disciples. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieving for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Let us now sing together Psalm 25, stanzas 5 and 6. text for this afternoon is the word of our God, as the church has summarized that for us in Lord's Day 31. Forgot to put on the sheet that I'll be looking at that through Luke 11, verse 52. So if you turn with me to Luke 11, verse 52. It's a section that begins at verse 37, the woes to the Pharisees and the lawyers, also known as the scribes. And then verse 52, and you'll see the connection to Lord's Day 31. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. There's the first connection, the key. And you did not enter yourselves, that's entering into the kingdom, and you hindered those who were entering. So we'll look at Lord's Day 31 through this key of knowledge that gives entrance into the kingdom and that we are to pass on to others, of course. So now we'll look at Lord's Day 31. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? The preaching of the Holy Gospel and church discipline. By these two keys, the kingdom of heaven is open to believers and closed to unbelievers. How is the kingdom of heaven open and closed by the preaching of the gospel? According to the command of Christ, the kingdom of heaven is opened when it is proclaimed and publicly testified to each and every believer that God has really forgiven all their sins for the sake of Christ's merits, as often as they by true faith accept the promise of the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is closed when it is proclaimed and testified to all unbelievers and hypocrites that the wrath of God and eternal condemnation rest on them as long as they do not repent. According to this testimony of the gospel, God will judge both in this life and in the life to come. How is the kingdom of heaven opened or closed and opened by church discipline? According to the command of Christ, people who call themselves Christians but show themselves to be unchristian in doctrine or life are first repeatedly admonished in a brotherly manner. If they do not give up their errors or wickedness, they are reported to the church, that is, to the elders. If they do not heed also their admonition, they are forbidden the use of the sacraments, and they are excluded by the elders from the Christian congregation and by God Himself from the kingdom of Christ. They are again received as members of Christ and of the church when they promise and show real amendment. In response to the proclamation of God's word, let us sing together hymn 46, stanza 2. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, for this afternoon's message is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ gives us access into the kingdom of heaven. And not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ shuts the kingdom of heaven for us. You realize how important that is. It has everything to do with to be or not to be in the kingdom of heaven. And I'd like to begin by asking a few questions. Because entrance into the kingdom of heaven involves, of course, the minister who preaches. I'll come back to that in a moment. But it also involves parents who teach their children about the Lord Jesus. And it involves the eldership who bring the members of the congregation to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it involves each one of you. We talked about church discipline in Lord's Day 31, but church discipline begins in the congregation. What Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" is not true. You are your brother and sister's keeper. And so discipline begins with you as individual members of the church. So let's ask ourselves a few questions. First of all, the parents. If knowing Jesus is so important, then you and I as a parent, we need to ask ourselves the question, what are we telling our children about the Lord Jesus Christ so that they know about his person and his work? But that's not enough, simply about the Lord Jesus Christ. This objective knowledge about Jesus needs to lead to a subjective knowledge about personally knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question remains, what are we as parents, or how are we as parents encouraging our children to personally know the Lord Jesus Christ so that they experience what Jesus has done for them, he also does in them, as they live in him and he lives in them? And brothers, elders, how are you encouraging the members entrusted to your care to personally know the Lord Jesus Christ and encouraging them in all the ups and downs of life, that really at the heart of it is that they entrust themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? The Lord Jesus Christ, who is filled with the resurrection life, and who wants to live in the members of the congregation with his resurrection life, strengthening them in the ups and downs of the Christian journey. And all of you, brothers and sisters, how are you encouraging each other to go to the Lord Jesus Christ when you not only sin yourself, but you see that others are also sinning? And that's not good. And then how are you speaking into that situation with the key of the kingdom of heaven by encouraging these members to repent and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they, like you, can experience his forgiving, liberating, and healing grace? Because at the heart, that's what it's about. You realize the importance of the answers that you and I give to these existential questions of why we're here and who we are. The questions I just asked you and the answers that you gave to those questions in your heart have everything to do with either entering the kingdom of heaven or being shut out of the kingdom of heaven. And no one wants to be shut out. You will remember, of course, what the kingdom of heaven is. The kingdom, just another name for the kingdom of heaven, is the new earth, the new heaven and the new earth, where God will be all in all. Everything and everyone on the new earth at that time, when it comes, will reflect the glory of God. Creation then will truly be a place where heaven and earth meet. And you and I will truly be those people where heaven and earth meet. We were created for this purpose. We were created to reflect the glory of God. And ever since the fall into sin, God is on a mission to have this world and His people in this world to reflect His glory in a new heaven and a new earth, in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And to have this world and the people in this world experience a foretaste of this glory as we live in Christ through faith and have Christ live in us through faith. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the glory of the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the person where heaven and earth meet. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one who makes us into people where heaven and earth meet. And the God who is on a mission for His glory wants you, His congregation, to participate in this mission for His glory by having parents tell their children about the Lord Jesus Christ and encouraging their children to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know the secret of what Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. And He wants you elders to participate in this mission for His glory by doing the same thing that the parents do to their children, encouraging them to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, to put Him on through faith every day again and experience the mystery and the joy of having Christ live in them through faith. And He wants you, every one of you, to participate in this mission for His glory by not living in sin yourself and by encouraging each other to repent and not to live in sin, but to reflect the glory of God. You see, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ did when He was here on this earth. You read the Gospels and that's what you see. He encouraged the people of His day to participate in the Father's mission for His glory. Today already, and in the coming kingdom of heaven, by calling the people to repent and believe. For the kingdom of heaven, He says, is near, is at hand. and the Lord Jesus Christ. He showed the people of his day what that looked like to believe, and what it looked like, the changes that believing have in your life. He embodied the new way of life of the coming kingdom of heaven in his own person and work. Because he entrusted himself to his heavenly Father. And he participated in his Father's mission for the Father's glory. He lived the kingdom life that he preached. He loved his enemies. He prayed for those who persecuted him. He turned the other cheek. And he went the extra mile with the difficult people. This is the new way of life that embodies the new life of the coming kingdom of heaven and that radiates the glory of God. This is the new way of life that leads to the coming kingdom of heaven. God will be all in all. And his glory will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. A kingdom that is either open for you or a kingdom that will be closed for you. And if you and I want to enter this kingdom of heaven, and encourage others to enter this kingdom. If you and I want to give each other and the world a foretaste of the new way of life of the coming kingdom of heaven, well, then we need to know. We need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Objective knowledge and subjective knowledge. And the former is meant to lead to the latter. And if the objective knowledge doesn't lead to the subjective knowledge, the objective knowledge is useless and in vain. Right? Because even the devil believes that God is one. Even the devil has objective knowledge about God and Jesus. But he doesn't submit himself to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have knowledge about and knowing. Now this is clear from our scripture reading of this afternoon. Jesus clearly says that the whole Old Testament testify to him that he had to suffer, that he had to die, and that he had to rise again from the dead. And John the Baptist testified to this by pointing the people to the Lord Jesus and saying to them, "See the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Jesus himself said that this had to happen. "I must go to Jerusalem," he said, "and suffer many things. And I must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." This is also how the Lord Jesus Christ participated in his Father's mission for the Father's glory. He participated in this mission for the Father's glory by suffering. So not just by preaching, but by suffering, by dying and rising from the dead. This is how the Lord Jesus Christ opened up the kingdom of heaven for those who would believe in him. Because through his suffering, through his death, and through his resurrection from the dead, he dealt with a triple problem that we have. The problem of sin, the problem of death, and the problem of the devil. And by dealing with this triple problem, Jesus opened up the door of the kingdom of heaven. This is how the Lord Jesus Christ truly is the door, the gate that opens up entry into the kingdom. Now, if you and I want to enter the kingdom of heaven and encourage others to do the same, if you and I want to give each other and the world a foretaste of the coming kingdom of heaven, then we need to know this. We need to know this personally, that Jesus dealt with this triple problem, not only in the world, but in our lives. He dealt with the problem of sin in my life. He dealt with the penalty of sin. I have forgiveness in Christ. He dealt with the power of sin, the pollution of sin, and the partition of sin in my life. I need to know that personally. And I need to know personally that he dealt with the problem of death and the problem of the devil. And this knowledge, and now I come to Luke 11, verse 52. You see, this knowledge, objective and subjective, functions as a key because it opens the scriptures like it did for the men on the road to Emmaus. And like it did for those disciples who were gathered together with Jesus when they gave him some fish to eat. This knowledge functions like a key because it gives us objective knowledge about Christ and subjective knowledge of him. This objective knowledge about Christ, how he participated in the Father's mission for his glory, for the coming kingdom of heaven, by dealing with this triple problem, once you get this objective knowledge, it either does something for you or it doesn't do anything to you. It leaves many people cold. But in the hearts of the men on the Emmaus, it says our hearts were burning inside of us. And by the grace of God, this objective knowledge about Christ can drive you out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, like Thomas, you say, my Lord and my God, I worship you. I entrust myself to you for this triple problem that I have, sin, death, and the devil. Jesus, I want to know the secret. The same secret as Paul. It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. And our text from Luke 11 tells us that the lawyers, the scribes, had taken away this key of knowledge that opens up the Old Testament scriptures. How did these scribes take it away? Well, they didn't believe John the Baptist preaching. They weren't baptized by John. And so they didn't point the people to John the Baptist and encourage the people to go to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who had also said, "The Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." So they didn't use this key. They kind of took it away. And they also took this key of knowledge away by not encouraging the people to go to Jesus for the forgiveness of all of their sins and the problem of the devil in their lives. And so the scribes refused to participate in God's mission for His glory by not pointing the people to Jesus as the door or the gate into the coming kingdom of heaven. And so they hindered. This is awful. This is awful when someone says this about you. They hindered the people from entering the kingdom of heaven, so that these people could not reflect the glory of God in the new heaven and the new earth. So that these people could not become people where heaven and earth meet. Imagine if someone says that about your parenting skills. You hinder your children from entering the kingdom. Isn't that awful? Imagine if they said that about me as a pastor or about you as elders. That's got to be the most awful indictment that is ever made against anybody else or anybody. You hinder others from entering. And then the sad part is, Jesus also says, they did not enter the kingdom themselves. See, they couldn't enter the kingdom because by not going to Jesus and embracing Jesus, the problem of sin wasn't dealt with in their lives. The problem of death wasn't dealt with in their lives. And the problem of the devil wasn't dealt with. And so, and it gets really sad here, and so they glorified God in another way in their lives. Not by enjoying God and living in His presence in a new heaven and a new earth, but by not enjoying Him and not living in His presence in the coming kingdom of God, but living somewhere else, experiencing the wrath of God forever. See, God will get His glory. He wants to get His glory in our salvation. But if that salvation is not forthcoming, then He gets His glory in another way. You don't want to be there. And now you understand, of course, why the preaching of the gospel is the first key of the kingdom of heaven. If the Lord Jesus Christ is the gate into the kingdom, and if the key, you got the gate, right? And Jesus is the gate. You got a little hole there, right, for the key, right? And if the key into that gate is the key of knowledge, yeah, then we need to know certain things about who Jesus is, what He's done, what He's doing, what He's going to do. And we need to know Him subjectively. What He does for you, He does in you. as you entrust yourself to Him, opening yourself to His Spirit, forming Himself, that is Jesus, the Spirit forming Jesus in you. It's the key. Preaching is a key. And so what does the minister do? What do? I spend my whole life preaching Jesus Christ with the goal of helping others, members of the congregation, hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, urging them to come to Him, to live in Him, like we live in our clothes, and have Him live in us. So that members of the congregation can participate in the Father's mission for His glory. Today, a foretaste, one day in the fullness, in the kingdom. And that's why you, elders, what I do with the preaching and in my pastoral work, you do in your pastoral work as well. When you strip it all of all the little administrative things that you're involved in, right? You just take all of that off for a moment, all those administrative things. The heartbeat of your ministry is that, just like me, as the pastor, you are called to lead or to bring the people to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness, liberation, and healing. That's the heartbeat. And that's the nicest thing about being an elder. If someone were to ask you, what's it about being an elder? You just say this. It is about bringing the sheep to Jesus so that they are fed by Jesus and their thirst is quenched by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you do that. Because the word and the preaching is the first key of the kingdom. You want them to enter the kingdom, and you want them to have a foretaste of the life of the kingdom today. And brothers and sisters, that's why you parents do what you do. Yeah, I know they got hockey practice and volleyball practice, and you know, and there's all those other things, you know. And I don't want to diminish that. Those are all important things that need to be done, right? All needs to be done. But what does it help you if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? So in the midst of all the hustle and bustle, and helping the kids with their homework and all of those things, in the midst of all of the hustle and bustle, right? The most important thing, because preaching, and officially you're not a preacher, but you do pass on the word, right? The most important thing that you do, you have the privilege of giving your children and your grandchildren the key of knowledge, objective and subjective. Now, you can't really give them the subjective knowledge, but you can encourage them to have that subjective knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that it is no longer they who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in them. So that's the first key. Now you also understand why church discipline is the second key of the kingdom. Because as I said, it begins with you and me in the congregation. If God is on a mission for His glory, if He wants us to participate in this mission, then it will sadden us when we see others in the church, will also sadden us when we see ourselves in the church not reflecting the glory of God by living in Christ and having Christ live in us, but living in sin instead. I mean, if that doesn't do anything to you, then there's something wrong with you and me. That's got to do something. It's got to sadden you. It's got to sadden you for God. It's got to sadden you for yourself and for the other. Because your main desire is that you want the church, the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit, you want this church to be a reflection of the glory of God. You want everyone to enter the coming kingdom of heaven. You want everyone to have a foretaste of the new life of the kingdom today already. And so you and I will lovingly admonish each other so that God is glorified. Not by closing the kingdom of heaven, but by opening the kingdom of heaven for them. Let me ask you, where do you need to hear the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to you this afternoon? Because that's what preaching is about. I'm not just here to give you objective knowledge. I'm also here to encourage you to have subjective knowledge. And if the former doesn't lead to the latter, the former is useless and in vain. That's why I always have in my sermons a little section, and in my little template, it's called conviction. It's a little moment where I just spend time with you and ask you, now, how does this land in your life? And I have a very intentional purpose for doing that, because I want to encourage you to know God and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see preaching as a means to help you hear the voice of God. Right? So you've got this instructional part, but the instructional part is meant to lead to the subjective experience of the instruction. Because that's what it's about. It's information for transformation. So we need to ask ourselves, where do I need to hear the voice of God? Where does the rubber meet the road in the light of this afternoon's text in my life? And elders, ask yourself the question. Ask yourself the question, In the light of this afternoon's message, what changes might you need to make so that you see it as your primary task to bring the members of the congregation to the Lord Jesus, the greatest joy in your life? You need to make any changes? Well, maybe not. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. But you need to ask yourself the question, because you know what's at stake. Entrance into the kingdom is at stake. They either go in or they don't go in. And you don't want anybody saying of you, just like I don't want them saying of me, he took away the key of knowledge. And he hindered them from entering. And they didn't enter themselves. Ask yourself the question, is there anything I need to change so that I can participate better in the Father's mission for His glory? By encouraging the people to personally know the Lord Jesus Christ. And parents, ask yourself that question. I mean, I don't just come here this afternoon to tell you a story. I like to be the voice of God. It's a very humbling experience. You need to ask yourself the question, are there any changes that I might need to make in my parenting so that I can participate better in the Father's mission for His glory by very effectively handing them the key of knowledge that opens up the kingdom of heaven? Brothers and sisters, you need to ask yourself the question, right? About the discipline part. Are there any changes that I need to make? And to put it bluntly, so that I just don't watch people go to hell. So I just don't watch people live in sin, right? But because I want to participate in the Father's mission for His glory, I need to come up alongside, I may need to come up alongside of certain people and speak into their lives very lovingly, very humbly, with the key of knowledge, the key that opens or closes. And lest you go home discouraged, Jesus says to you and me this afternoon, He says, come. He says, come to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way to the kingdom. I am the truth of the kingdom. I am the life of the kingdom. I participated in my Father's mission for His glory with my life and my death. I did it for you. Let that sink in. Let it sink in. He says, I did it for you. I left heaven for you. I died the hellish agony on the cross for you as your representative, as your substitute. He says, come. Come to me now. I did it all for you. And trust yourself to me, being open to my Spirit, forming myself in you. And the changes you need to make, it's not going to be 100% right away, but the changes you need to make, you will begin to make through my Spirit when you lean on me. Amen. In Acts 4, verse 12, we hear Peter saying, And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Let us now, together with the Church of All Ages, profess our Catholic and undoubted Christian faith with the words of Hymn 1. Once the offering has been taken, let us sing together hymn 61. Thank you. Let us pray and give thanks. Father, thank you that you are on a mission to have this world and the people of this world, your chosen people in this world, to reflect your glory in the coming kingdom of heaven. And thank you. Thank you that you allow us to participate in this mission for the glorification of this world and your people in this world. Father, thank you that we could hear you speaking to us this afternoon about this mission for your glory, in our glory, and the glory of this world. Help us now, Father, to obediently respond to what we have heard in faith by going to the Lord Jesus Christ and having him make the changes that we need to make. Amen. Closing hymn is hymn number 9. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.